Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. It's over. You knew it would end. All things must pass, including the Royals' win streak. It ends at 7. It ends in New York. Royals drop game 1 to the Mets by a final count of 6-1. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. Phone number, text line number, identical. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're just turning the page tonight. Is this, you're going to win 54, you're going to lose 54. Is this one of those? You put it in the Mets were just better tonight bucket. Or no. 913-586-7610. The way that I saw it, I don't want to say that the Royals lost this game. Like, I'm not going to tell you that the Royals blew it. The Mets won this game, no doubt about it. Royals had their opportunities to take it, though. They were unable to do so. Royals strike out 10 times at the dish. 3 with runners in scoring position. Matt Quatrero just said as much. It's tough to win when you only score 1 run. It's tough to score more than 1 run when you only have 2 hits over the first 8 innings. 3 hits total. So the offense wasn't special tonight. The pitching wasn't special. Now, Michael Wacha up in the zone. Not consistently, but enough. Up in the zone, the Mets had some very nice swings, had a very aggressive approach against the Royals' right-hander. In my opinion, he still gave them a chance to win tonight, so that has continued here 14 games into the season. Royals starters have given you an opportunity to win every single game. I wouldn't say that Michael Wacha was bad. Certainly wouldn't say that he was good. But the Royals had opportunities. Again, the Royals obviously didn't win the game. But they certainly had opportunities to take the game. You look at what Michael Wacha allowed tonight. 5 runs on 10 hits with 2 walks across 6 innings. All 5 runs came in to score with 2 outs. That's what I'm talking about. Michael Wacha had opportunities to close out that 3rd inning, that 4th inning, that 5th inning. But instead, Brandon Nimmo in the 3rd drives in the Mets' first run and ties the game up at 1. In the 4th inning, a pair of 2-out knocks from Jeff McNeil and DJ Stewart plate 2 runs. And then in the 5th inning, a 2-out, 2-run double from Brett Beatty makes it 5-1 Mets. They would go on to win 6-1. So Wacha had opportunities to take this game. He couldn't do it. Offensively, the Royals go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, including those 3 punchouts. Hunter Renfro with 2 on and 1 out in the 2nd inning. Bobby Witt Jr. with 2 on and 2 outs in the 5th inning. And MJ Melendez with a runner in scoring position and 1 out in the 6th inning. Offensively, on the mound, the Royals had opportunities to take the game. They just didn't do it. Didn't execute that big pitch. Didn't come through with that big knock. Now, they have this season. That's why I think you and I are more than comfortable saying, oh, well, you're going to lose some. Turn the page. Get ready for tomorrow afternoon's game 2 of this 3-game series. The Mets won the game. Royals didn't lose it. I'll give credit where credit is due. Solid game, Luis Severino, Mets relievers, and the Mets lineup. Where everyone in the Mets lineup outside of Starling Marte either scored a run or drove in a run. I'll tip my cap to the Mets, but acknowledge that the Royals had opportunities. Waka on the mound, offense, even defense. Unbelievable effort from Kyle Isbell on that two-out, two-run double from Brett Beatty in the fifth inning. Great effort. Just tips off the end of his glove, or else that would have been the third and final out, would have saved two runs, and the Royals would have come to the plate in the sixth inning down only two, down 3-1 instead of 5-1. Kyle Isbell unable to make what would have been a sensational catch, a highlight reel catch. Couldn't make it. Not because of a horrible route or a lack of effort. Could the route have been a touch better? Yeah, probably. But much like the offense and Michael Wacha, Kyle Isbell's defense has been so solid this season, I have no issue saying, oh well, turn the page, get ready for tomorrow. How about you? 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The seven-game winning streak is no more. Royals are now 9-5 on the season, and they hand the ball to Alec Marsh tomorrow in Game 2. So what say you, Royals fans? 913-586-7610. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the next one to Salvi. Fastball swung on, hit well. Deep left center field, way back, and that ball is gone! Long home run to left center. Off the bat of Salvador Perez. His third of the year gives the Royals a 1-0 lead here in the second inning. He tattooed that ball.
Yes, he did. Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Salvi puts the boys on the board with a leadoff blast in the second inning. The Mets would score six unanswered and win the game 6-1, ending the seven-game winning streak for your boys in blue. But tattooed, great description, 108 miles per hour off the bat, a 1-0 fastball down and below the zone to Salvador Perez from Mets right-hander Luis Severino. Salvi sends it 433 feet over the left center field wall. Severino then locked in. Would not give up another hit. Finishes five innings, just that solo bomb to Salvi. He did walk four, then he punched out four. Punching out Renfro, Melendez, Velasquez, and the final batter that he faced with two on and two outs. He gets Bobby Witt Jr. to swing through a sweeper in the dirt. Bobby tried to check his swing, but he went. And that was the last best opportunity, in my opinion, that the Royals had tonight. They would get another man in scoring position in the very next inning. A leadoff infield single off of the bat of Vinny Pasquantino. He advanced to second on a Salvador Perez ground out, but MJ Melendez punched out on a questionable strike three call. And then Nelson Velasquez grounded out to end what was truly the last threat for the Royals offense. My game notes following this 6-1 loss to the Mets, it's, again, very simple. Mets won the game. This isn't about what the Royals did to lose it, in my opinion. The Mets won this game. But we can acknowledge the Royals had opportunities to take the game from the Mets. Mets went out and won it. They left the door open. Royals had opportunities on the mound to make a big pitch, at the dish to come through with that big hit, and defensively to make that spectacular play. And in all three facets, the team was unable to make that exceptional play. Salvador Perez in that home run you just heard, it was career home run number 249. He's now 68 back of George Brett's franchise record and one away from a nice round 250. To me, if Salvi can get that number to 300, that is, along with that 2015 World Series championship, that, if he can get this team back to the postseason one more time, boy, that resume, that Cooperstown resume, really starting to come together. Salvi spoke with the media after the 6-1 loss to the Mets. This audio courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City, as Salvi talks about the opponent tonight, Mets starter Luis Severino.
He was pretty good. He mixed, you know, made a mistake on my pitch. I don't think he want to go down in, but he was pretty good. He used changer, slide, the cooler, foul, caught it, you know. So he was good today. Good game for him.
Waka gave you six innings, but he had some problems in the third and fourth. What happened? He had two quick outs and then...
Yeah, you guys see it again, you know. It's a lot of blooper, you know. Uh-huh. Broken bat, basically. You know, I think he's doing a tremendous job today. He makes his pitcher. I think only one hard hit to center field. Besides that, Stua was a blooper. The other guy here, you know, in the end, you know, fight the hole on the catcher, Alvarez. He fight the hole with sinker inside. He makes a pitch, you know, some days like that. Nothing we can do about that. Just get ready for tomorrow.
I mean, he's been so good, Lugo. And how much of a difference has having two veteran guys like that made this year?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, I think every time you have some veteran pitcher like that, you know, they know how to pitch. You know, you're just trying to be in the same pitch with him. I think made you a little easy. You know, they're gonna make the pitchers. It's pretty good to have these two guys here.
Yeah. How aggressive was the Mets on first pitch or against Waka to get those bases and things like that in that fourth inning?
Aggressive?
Yeah, were they aggressive swinging them with at first pitches and things like that from your perspective?
I think they were ready, you know. They know Waka too, so probably like I said, I think Waka make some really good pitchers, you know. I don't think the ball hard today, just one guy. The third base guy hit it to center field. Beside him, you know, it's a lot of blooper, a lot of ground ball, you know, just fight the hole.
It's been a while since he celebrated in here, but you still get good feelings when you come to City Field?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, every time you win a World Series, you're never going to forget that. I'm excited to be back. It's kind of remind me when I show up today, you know, that moment, 2015, you know, super excited. And it's something that nobody can take that for me. So, super excited to be back here.
How good is this team?
Pretty good, you know.
How far can they go?
If you don't think we're going to make it all the way to the World Series, we're in the wrong sport. Okay? No matter who you play, no matter where we are, we always think that we're going to win every night. So you don't have that kind of mentality, you should go somewhere else.
And how important was it to give Waka an early run right there with your home run?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I'm trying to do my job. I'm just trying to, you know, to hit the ball hard, put some run in the ball for our pitcher, you know. Today was a good game for the Mets.
There you go. That's Salvador Perez following a 6-1 loss to the New York Mets. That's the captain right there. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Salvi say something similar. Now, a rather silly question of how far can this team go 14 games into the season. What do you expect Salvi to say? Maybe we could touch 500. No. It's Salvador Perez, the guy, first one at the ballpark, last one to leave every single day of spring training. Adam Frazier, a veteran, marveled at it in spring training. If you were listening to Hunter Renfroe talk with Steve Stewart prior to this one today, he, inspired by Salvador Perez. Hunter Renfroe's been around the game for a minute. Adam Frazier, this was his ninth opening day? Inspired by Salvi, motivated by Salvador Perez. He's a 33-year-old catcher that I don't know if he's missed a game yet. More than 2 weeks into the season. So, of course, it's the expectation is postseason. Salvi also dead on when talking about Michael Waka. Again, Waka wasn't bad. I'm not going to say that he was good. He gave you a chance to win. He had opportunities to make even bigger pitches and have a good outing. Unable at times to execute those big pitches. And yes, like Salvi said, at times the victim of some tough luck, some nice swings by the Mets, nice approach by the Mets hitters, and some bloops, some bleeders. That's baseball. Royals rotation saw its ERA balloon to 2.36. Still under 2.5. 14 games in, and the team's ERA rests at a cool 2.36. Taking a look around Major League Baseball as far as where that ranks, Royals came into the day with the second best ERA in all of Major League Baseball, second only to the Boston Red Sox, and following Michael Wacha, six innings of five-run baseball. Five runs on 10 hits, two walks, and four strikeouts. Following that performance today from Michael Wacha, he sees the Royals now with the fourth best ERA in Major League Baseball. That's as a team. Royals as a team have the fourth best ERA in Major League Baseball. Now, if we want to just focus in on this rotation, still sitting second best. Still only behind the Boston Red Sox. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also our text line number. Let's go to the text line real quick. From the 816, Vern, you seem way happier this year. Yeah, I would. I am. I'm as happy as I've been in 3 years. Well, last year I was angry quickly because I wasn't ready to embrace an evaluation season. I wasn't ready to say, hey, let's go watch bad baseball for 5 months together. I wasn't excited about that. The year before that, 2022, yeah, I was angry to start that season as well. I just didn't like the direction of the organization. 2021, yeah, we were in a good mood. Royals ended the month of April as the best team in Major League Baseball. They ended the month of April in 2021 as the best team in the American League. Let me clarify that. Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, you knew it was coming, but there really is zero reason to be concerned right now. My only question is how will the boys respond tomorrow and over the rest of the weekend? Yeah, of course, no doubt. Ryan, appreciate you listening. Talked about this earlier today with CDOT on the drive. And talked about it with you over the past few nights on the postgame show. The thing that has buoyed my spirits most early on is the fact that almost every one of these Royals hitters have checked their empty box. Whatever their concern was coming into the season, whatever that little voice that we all have, that little voice of doubt that you often hear in your quiet moments when you lay your head on the pillow, whatever that doubt was coming into 2024, man, I think almost all, if not all, of the 13 position players have checked that box. Renfro and Frazier, the new guys, having their moments, helping the team win, they've done it. Vinny, Bobby, Michael, MJ, Salvi, they've all had their moments. They've all found confidence early on in the season. And having that confidence this early in the season, I think, is going to do wonders for this ball club moving forward. When they inevitably find that mid-season slump, maybe as an entire unit, maybe on an individual basis. I thought it would take longer than 14 games for these hitters, collectively, to check those boxes, to find that confidence, to prove to themselves whatever it is they needed to see manifest in the regular season. Thought it would take a little bit longer. But in no way are they done. There are still other empty boxes. But those boxes can't be checked until we reach the months of June, July, August, September. How do you handle your first real losing streak? How do you handle your first we're all slumping streak or stretch? How do you handle real big league pressure? Because if we're being honest, Bobby, Michael, Vinny, MJ, Velasquez, Isbell, Michael Massey have never played a meaningful game outside the month of April. Now, they're meaningful to them on an individual basis, of course. Yeah, you're fighting for your life out there, and they have been in years past. So I understand if those guys would disagree and say, Vern, man, none of us had our footing in the big leagues last year. We were all fighting for our lives, so all those games were huge. Those all had pressure. We were trying to return. We were trying to pass the evaluation season. What are you talking about, not real big league pressure? We'll wait until that late July matchup with the Detroit Tigers or the Cleveland Guardians or whoever you're battling for this division. Wait until that game in late August when you're taking on another division leader. And they're in the middle of a late season race. And you have to face one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball in his ballpark. In front of a packed crowd, on national TV. That's a different pressure that none of these guys have felt. They've played big games throughout their career. You know, high school, college, minor league, big leagues. They've played in what they think are big games, but nothing will compare to what hopefully you and I get to experience and watch and listen to in the coming months. So no doubt, Ryan, it's going to be fun to see how they respond tomorrow and how they respond whenever they find themselves mired in a three-game losing streak. Hopefully it never happens. But it likely will. 913-586-7610. A few more from the text line. Rally Mantis celebrating the fact that the boys are still above 500. There you go, Rally Mantis. Brett in Topeka writes in, Vern, I'm concerned about Isbell in center. If he can't hit, he needs to catch. Lorenzo Cain or Michael A. Taylor would have had that. Also, Bobby's 0-for-4 and striking out, that's not MVP stuff. But at least we can still count on the captain to get it done. Yeah, Brett, I personally didn't need a reminder that Salvi can still get it done. I've known that. I don't know if you're trolling just to get me riled up on a Friday night. Bobby's going to go 0-for-4 again, and I can promise you every MVP in the history of the sport has gone 0-for-4 in a game. Every MVP that has ever graced this, or any, green baseball diamond has gone 0-for-4. So that's silly. And, okay, well, a little too late to get concerned about Kyle Isbell. Where you been? What are you going to do? A, there's no better option. B, he's a terrific defender. C, I don't think you saw the play or else you wouldn't be whining. Would Lorenzo Cain have caught that? Possibly. Michael A. Taylor, yeah. I think he would have caught it. But he also has 5 inches on Kyle Isbell. And Michael A. Taylor was like 6'3". Michael A. Taylor was a low-key unit. But you should, Brett, you should rid yourself of those concerns over Kyle Isbell. Now, I agree with your point that if he's not going to hit, he needs to play an above-average center field. Yeah, he is playing an above-average center field. That's his job. Lay down the bunt when we need you to, advance a runner when we need you to, and make spectacular plays in center field. Make all the routine plays and the occasional spectacular play. No doubt. But it's not make every spectacular play. Now, Jim Edmonds didn't make every spectacular play. I don't care who your favorite center fielder is. Willie Mays, Willie Wilson, Lorenzo Cain, Andrew Jones. They didn't make every spectacular play. So, Brett, check yourself, man. Royals lose to the Mets 6-1. They drop game one. They end their 7-game winning streak with this loss in Queens. And now they turn to Alec Marsh. Game two comes your way tomorrow. Alec Marsh squaring off with Sean Manaea. We'll talk more about that and get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Seven-game winning streak. See, that's... Man, see, that's someone that has been through way, way, way too many losing streaks. It just felt natural. Seven-game losing streak is no more. But no, a seven-game winning streak is no more. Royals lose in New York 6-1, the final score. A Pavlovian moment for me. Whenever I hear that quick return, voice ladies, a tad bit somber, you know it's a loss. And over the past few years, if it's a loss, it's normally followed by more losses. But that's because this Royals team over the past 5-6 years has been ill-equipped on the mound. The reason why the Royals sit here 9-5, even after being outscored by 5 runs, the reason why the Royals sit here with a run differential that still ranks as the second best in the American League, the reason why so many of you I see on the text line, and I could tell by your reaction, are ready to turn the page and say, oh, well, you don't win them all. You can't win them all. You had opportunities, but you just couldn't take it. The reason why you feel that way is because Cole Reagans is going to pitch in the finale. Alec Marsh is going to pitch tomorrow. You're going to see Seth Lugo in Chicago coming up on Monday night. Brady Singer Tuesday night. Michael Wacha back at it Wednesday afternoon on the south side of Chicago. With that type of stability in the rotation, you and I agree the losing streaks should be few and far between. 913-586-7610. One more note on Kyle Isbell. He was getting beat up tonight. Colliding with Pete Alonso at first base. And it looked to me like Pete Alonso and Kyle Isbell, it was 50-50. Don't get it twisted. Kyle Isbell is a bowling ball. So a bowling ball smashing into a polar bear, that didn't feel good for either side. And then in his next at-bat, he fouls a ball off of his right knee. Yeah, rough night for Kyle Isbell, 0-for-3 at the plate, and bruises up and down his body, certainly. Royals were able to muster only 3 hits. I mentioned the infield knock from Vinny, the solo bomb from Salvi. And then in the ninth inning, Nelson Velasquez with a 2-out single to center gives him a career-high 6-game hitting streak. Add it all up, and it's still a 6-1 loss. Let's go to Jarrett in Ottawa. Jarrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I tell you. What are we going to do with that Will Smith? I mean, he's not the end. I mean, he's one of the only questions we have.
Well, there's got to be a 26th man on the roster, you know? There's got to be a 13th pitcher in your 13-man pitching staff, right? Here's what I would say. Don't put him in high leverage.
Right.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's like a gas can. On the fire. I hate to say it. He does have the hardware and he does have the history, but man, he's just not showing it yet. How long do you give him before you yank him?
Well, they've already answered that question. They gave him
3 days off.
No, I'm saying they removed him. A week ago today, they removed him in the ninth inning and he hasn't pitched in a high leverage situation sense. So they have yanked him. They have. They've demoted him to, it's him and Jordan Lyles right now battling for last man out of the bullpen.
There it is. Well, Vern, anyway, man, thank you for what you do for this. This is your job, man. Nobody can do this better than you.
Let's hope not.
You've got it. You're it. You're the great voice of the Royals on the outside. Wow, okay. So keep it up.
I'll take it. I'll take it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I love listening to you. It's just you, Denny, and the Royals, man. It's all in my bag, man. It's all. There you go.
No doubt. No doubt, Garrett. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Phone lines open up for you. 913-586-7610. Text line from the 816. Vern, wasn't it you that said you'd be happy with 3-3 on this road trip? Yes, it was. I said that earlier today on the drive. Carrington was nice enough to have me on in the 4 o'clock hour. If you want to download the podcast on the Odyssey app, you go right ahead. While you're there, do me a huge favor. Subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast. Odyssey app, anywhere you get your podcast. Search All Things Vern, subscribe, do all that the stuff that you're supposed to do to help me out. It'd be great. You can go 500 on the road. I'll take that. I understand how bad the White Sox looked, and I know what the Mets record was coming into tonight. But it's the third week of the big league season. I'm not going to act as if I have any team pegged just yet. No, let's watch. Let's observe. We're still learning this team. Honestly, 3-3, I think, is a touch aggressive for an expectation. I know how good they looked at home. Won every single game in that home.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Seven-game winning streak. See, that's... Man, see, that's someone that has been through way, way, way too many losing streaks. It just felt natural. Seven-game losing streak is no more. But no, a seven-game winning streak is no more. Royals lose in New York 6-1, the final score. A Pavlovian moment for me. Whenever I hear that quick return, voice ladies, a tad bit somber, you know it's a loss. And over the past few years, if it's a loss, it's normally followed by more losses. But that's because this Royals team over the past 5-6 years has been ill-equipped on the mound. The reason why the Royals sit here 9-5, even after being outscored by 5 runs, the reason why the Royals sit here with a run differential that still ranks as the second best in the American League, the reason why so many of you I see on the text line, and I can tell by your reaction, are ready to turn the page and say, oh, well, you don't win them all. You can't win them all. You had opportunities, but you just couldn't take it. The reason why you feel that way is because Cole Reagans is going to pitch in the finale. Alec Marsh is going to pitch tomorrow. You're going to see Seth Lugo in Chicago coming up on Monday night. Brady Singer Tuesday night. Michael Wacha back at it Wednesday afternoon on the south side of Chicago. With that type of stability in the rotation, you and I agree the losing streaks should be few and far between. 913-586-7610. One more note on Kyle Isbell. He was getting beat up tonight. Colliding with Pete Alonso at first base, and it looked to me like Pete Alonso and Kyle Isbell, it was 50-50. Don't get it twisted. Kyle Isbell is a bowling ball. So a bowling ball smashing into a polar bear. That didn't feel good for either side. And then in his next at-bat, he fouls a ball off of his right knee. Yeah, rough night for Kyle Isbell, 0 for 3 at the plate, and bruises up and down his body, certainly. Royals were able to muster only 3 hits. I mentioned the infield knock from Vinny, the solo bomb from Salvi. And then in the ninth inning, Nelson Velasquez with a 2-out single to center gives him a career-high 6-game hitting streak. Add it all up, and it's still a 6-1 loss. Let's go to Jarrett in Ottawa. Jarrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How are you tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I tell you, what are we going to do with that Will Smith? I mean, he's not dead. I mean, he's one of the only questions we have.
Well, there's got to be a 26th man on the roster, you know? There's got to be a 13th pitcher in your 13-man pitching staff, right? Here's what I would say. Don't put him in high leverage.
Right.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's like a gas can on the fire. I hate to say it. He does have the hardware and he does have the history, but, man, he's just not showing it yet. How long do you give him before you yank him?
Well, they've already answered that question. They gave him
3 days off.
No, I'm saying they removed him, a week ago today. They removed him in the ninth inning, and he hasn't pitched in a high-leverage situation since. So they have yanked him. They have. They've demoted him to, it's him and Jordan Lyles right now battling for last man out of the bullpen.
There it is. Well, Vern, anyway, man, thank you for what you do for this. This is your job, man. Nobody can do this better than you.
Let's hope not.
You've got it. You're it. You're the great voice of the Royals on the outside. Wow, okay. So keep it
I'll
up.
I'll take
bro.
It. I'll take it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I love listening to you. It's just you, Denny, and the Royals, man. It's all in my bag, man. It's all. There you go.
No doubt. No doubt, Garrett. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Phone lines open up for you. 913-586-7610. Text line from the 816. Vern, wasn't it you that said you'd be happy with 3-3 on this road trip? Yes, it was. I said that earlier today on the drive. Carrington was nice enough to have me on in the 4 o'clock hour. If you want to download the podcast on the Odyssey app, you go right ahead. While you're there, do me a huge favor. Subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast. Odyssey app, anywhere you get your podcast. Search All Things Vern, subscribe, do all that, the stuff that you're supposed to do to help me out. It'd be great. You can go 500 on the road. I'll take that. I understand how bad the White Sox looked, and I know what the Mets' record was coming into tonight. But it's the third week of the big league season. I'm not going to act as if I have any team pegged just yet. No, let's watch. Let's observe. We're still learning this team. Honestly, 3-3, I think, is a touch aggressive for an expectation. I know how good they looked at home. Won every single game in that homestand. If you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, what would you want on this road trip? I probably would have said 2-4. But watching them start the season 9-4, yeah, I'll bump it up. I want a 500 road trip. Which means I need you to go 3-2 over the next 5. Thanks for listening. Text line's always open for you, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Pletch in Topeka. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I sent a text in the other night.
Yeah.
About pumping the brakes and then got railed for it. But well, it's all good. I just wanted to clarify that. I should have called in then. What I was referring to on pumping the brakes is on the expectations tied to this season. We lost 106 games last year, I think 97 the year before that. 2021, we were kind of sitting where we are now, looking like, oh, man, we're top of the AL, you know, and then just all came falling down in May. I'm just enjoying winning baseball right now, you know. I don't want to attach anything to it. I'm not playoffs or bust until we start making trades, which means we're in a good spot, you know, at the deadline. That's what I was getting at. I mean, I'm enjoying this. I don't know about the rest of Kansas City, but I'm not attaching playoffs or bust right now. I'm attaching, let's go, man. This is awesome.
Right. Pletch, I got you. And, you know, I'm a jerk sometimes. I apologize for giving you a hard time going off of a text.
My buddies are killing me.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate you calling up. Appreciate you listening. And good perspective. That's what it sounds like you have, is a quality perspective on the type of baseball that we're watching. Thank you. Yeah, he texted in during the recent homestand telling everyone, hey, pump the brakes. And it set me off a little bit. I didn't see a reason to pump the brakes, because what this team has are the things that sustain. The things that sustain over a 162-game march through the summer. And the things that sustain starting pitching giving you a chance to win 70-80% of the games. Not saying that you're going to win 70-80%, but you're going to have a chance to. Starting pitching, a defensive unit that makes the routine play and occasionally the spectacular play, that sustains. Speed on the base paths and confident hitters. Now, that confidence can ebb and flow over the course of 162, but the fact that they found confidence early, I believe, will do wonders when that confidence starts to wane, when that inevitable midseason slump arrives. So, yeah, I got I was frustrated when I saw that text come along saying pump the brakes. So I appreciate you calling in and clarifying it. What it sounds like you wanted to say to go along with the car analogy is roll the windows down, turn the music up, and enjoy the ride. That's what it sounds like you're saying, Pletch. Is enjoy this. And I'm with you. To me, that's the lesson of the 2021 Royals. As you mentioned, a team that was not running away, but was the best team in the American League at the end of April. And then it was gone in a flash. Yeah, appreciate this is the lesson of 2021. And then there's the lesson of 2016. The last time you had a rotation this talented. And the lesson of 2016 is, like you're saying, Pletch, enjoy the ride, because it can change quickly. A flat tire can alter your plans quickly. Moose and Gordo can collide, and Moose can tear his ACL, just like that. Wade Davis and that flexor. Lorenzo Cain and that knee. Those injuries derailed 2016, or else that team was going to the playoffs again. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Mike, who's in downtown Kansas City. Mike, go ahead.
The beautiful and handsome Joshua F. Vernier. Always good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah. Thanks for the compliment.
Hey, so this was actually my first game that I didn't have the opportunity to watch because I had to work tonight. But, you know, I got off there, I saw the outcome, and I was like, okay, it's going to be fine. And the thing about this year is I am excited every single day to see our starting pitching go out there. Like, I am excited. Like, you know, you get Lugo one day, you get Walker the next day, you get Singer. I mean, it's just like a constant barrage of, like, I can't wait to see what this guy is going to do. It's can't miss TV right now.
Yes.
And,
well said.
And anyways, what I did want to ask you, it doesn't have anything to necessarily to do with tonight, but I wanted to get your take on it because I'm a longtime caller. But what do you think about it? I know it's going to happen at some point during the season. What are we going to do with Danny Lynch and Chris Bubich? I just wanted to get your thoughts, and I will let you take it from here, and I'll listen to you.
Yeah, great stuff. Appreciate it, Mike. Right now, I think Daniel Lynch is first up. I understand the team just signed Kyle Davies, but I think... See, you don't want to talk about injuries, Mike, but even though you and I know they're coming, you'd love to think this team can get through the next 5 months with these same five. That Reagans and Waka and Lugo and Singer and Marsh are going to each make 30, 32 starts. And yeah, that just doesn't happen. There's a 5%, 3% chance of that happening. To me, Daniel Lynch is a starting pitcher and a starting pitcher only. So I think he's right now sixth on the depth chart if and when an injury pops up. I think Daniel Lynch gets the call. Chris Bubich, I'm not expecting to see him until after the All-Star break. And, you know, that's right now still hoping and wishing and praying that Chris Bubich is not only healthy, but can remain healthy and then get back to the big leagues. You know, none of that is promised, even though Tommy John surgery isn't the dicey proposition it once was. But it's not a guarantee that Chris Bubich gets back to where he was last year. Remember, early April, those first few weeks, Chris Bubich was the highlight for the Royals. You're thinking, oh my God, this new coaching staff came in here and turned Chris Bubich into the pitcher the Royals thought he was going to be when he was coming out of Stanford. They turned him into a first-round pick, and now he's dealing, and then he blows out. I've had a doctor tell me, after you undergo Tommy John surgery, you have a 70% chance of getting back to the level you were. So Bubich has a 70% chance of getting back to that guy that we saw pitch his tail off in San Francisco last year in April. Now, we had a caller earlier bring up the type of moves you can make. You know, that's when Pletch brought it up. That's when you really start getting excited, when they start making moves at the deadline, because that is the telltale sign that we're going for it, that we expect to be playing in October. Chris Bubich has the ability, as we saw last April, has the ability to be as good as anything you can get on the trade market at the end of July. So Bubich to me is a possible. Daniel Lynch is next up. And the fact that Daniel Lynch isn't on this team to me speaks to one of the true headlines of this hot start for the Royals, and really the headline of the offseason. And that was ownership in the front office abiding by the results of the evaluation season. You tell us that we need to watch this for 162, and they lose 106 games? There better be wholesale changes, and there were. You weren't force-feeding pitchers and hitters down our throats, despite the fact that both us and you, and even the player, knows they haven't earned that type of pressure. They haven't earned these spots. They haven't earned this expectation. Year after year after year, boy, if Mondi can get it going, if Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich can click, maybe this team can compete. You weren't banking on unknowns this season. You weren't banking on maybe unknown is the wrong word. you weren't banking on potential this season. That's the way to put it, because Daniel Lynch still has upside. Chris Bubich still has upside, very high upside for Chris Bubich. But I think Daniel Lynch is a starter, first and foremost. I don't know if he works out of the bullpen. Chris Bubich, I think a few years ago I would have said the same thing about him. But coming off this injury, I could see Chris Bubich as a reliever. But first, I want to see Chris Bubich pitch in a competitive game, pitch in a minor league game, and we're not going to see that for a few months. Thanks for the phone call, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals' seven-game winning streak is no more. They lose to the Mets 6-1. Mets won the game. Royals didn't choke this one away. It's nothing like that. Yes, Will Smith gave up a home run in the eighth inning, but it was, instead of a 5-1 final, it's a 6-1 final. Nothing to worry about. Royals didn't blow the game, but the Royals didn't take the game. They had opportunities to do that, but Waka couldn't make that big pitch. Bobby couldn't get that big hit. Isbell couldn't make that unbelievable catch. Mets were the better team. But once again, as has been the case in all 14 games, Royals had a chance to win this thing. Cole in Lenexa, you're next up on the postgame show.
Hey, Josh. I talked to you the other night, and I just wanted to talk about, dude, I've been talking to my coworkers, and I went to a bar tonight, and I just was talking to people around me, and I was just like, you know, have you been paying attention to these Royals? Like, we have a seven-game win streak. Whoa, we do? Like, that's crazy. And I'm telling them my record, or our record, and it's just like, it's one of those things where Kansas City doesn't quite know what we have. And even though we lost tonight, because it was on the TVs in the bar, and it's like, even though we lost tonight, it's like, but it's not over. It's not, our win streak is over, but this team is still, the foundation is there. And I feel like the energy around me being like, oh, this team is still something. Even though this night wasn't the best that we've had, it's still something that we're going to build on. And like, yeah, we won't win them all, man. We won't win them all. But it's still exciting to see this team. And I'm so freaking pumped for this team. And it's really interesting where, like you've talked about, our pitching, even talking about the backups like Lynch and Bubich, where mm-hmm. I didn't even think about some of our injuries that might pop up. And because, like, you know, we saw Danny Duffy get hurt the other year when he was dominant, dude, before he got hurt. And then just went down. And it seemed like that was when our team was winning in April. And then after Danny Duffy went down, so did the team. And it doesn't feel like that right now. It feels like tomorrow, Marsh will step up. Someone will step up and we'll end whatever we have going on now. It's not a losing streak yet. But, you know, you just have to – I know that the Royals like the Royals fandom has that feeling where it's just like, oh, you know, it's going to come. But right now we're winning. Let's just focus on our 9-5 record, right? We're still positive. We're still good. That Brandon caller that called in, we're still not below 500. Let's keep focusing on that. Let's focus on the positive. Let's take this loss and learn from it and then go forward. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you, Josh.
No doubt. Thank you, Cole. Appreciate the phone call. Way to stay locked in on a Friday night. Way to get the Royals convo happening as you belly up to the bar. Good work. Lori in Austin writes in on the text line, Vern, sad to see the streak end, but you can't win them all. Never expected them to win the first game on the road due to, you know, some disruption in the daily schedule. Hopefully it'll level out during the season and we go 500 or better in road games. Vern, I'm still listening and hollering, let's go Royals. Signed, Lori in Austin. Yeah, watching Cole Reagans earlier today on MLB Network, he was talking about a rather bumpy flight from Kansas City to New York. Cole Reagans does not enjoy flying. And if you have anybody in your life that does not enjoy flying and some turbulence hits, yeah, that's a very panicked individual sitting next to you. So, you know, got in at a decent time, but it wasn't necessarily an easy flight into the Big Apple. And then Cole Reagans and Brady Singer and MJ Melendez are all on MLB Network. MJ Melendez is walking through Times Square with MLB Productions. No matter what sports show you turn on, if they're talking baseball, they're talking Bobby Witt Jr. I'm with you, Cole. You should be in a good spot right now as a Royals fan, despite the fact that they dropped Game 1 6-1 to the New York Mets. 913-586-7610 from the 913. Vern, shouldn't we always expect the team to go 500 on the road? Well, you can do whatever you want, but I'm not there yet. If I was a Dodger fan, yeah. Braves fan, sure. Rangers fan, okay. A team that came into the season with one goal in mind, and that's win the World Series? No. A team that came into the season with the expectation of winning the World Series. Not just in that clubhouse, but nationwide. People expect the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Braves. Expect those teams to be in the mix late into October. Those are the teams where you say, all right, we go 500 on the road, we win series at home, we'll be in the playoffs. Now, maybe you're already there, 913, but I haven't changed my thoughts on this team. My mantra, my focus remains maintain through May. Stay in the fight, because if you can maintain through May, it's my belief that you would have proven enough to yourself, the young men in this lineup and in that bullpen that need confirmation in their belief in the team or confirmation in their own ability or where they fit in on a championship team, if the team is talented enough to compete, whatever they're worried about, whatever that little voice is telling them in their quiet moments, if this team maintains through May, I think all those concerns will have been snuffed out. If you maintain through May, it's my belief you'll maintain through July. And then we'll get what we all wanted. All right, what we all want, I think I can speak for us as a collective. What we wanted was entertaining August baseball. Exciting August baseball. Meaningful August baseball. And if they can maintain through May, yeah, I believe that they'll be playing meaningful baseball in August. But we're 14 games in. May doesn't end for another 40 games. So no, I'm not. And to go back to what Pletch had to say earlier, if you believe the Royals are going to win the division, I'm not going to tell you otherwise. If you think the Royals are going to finish above 500, I'm not going to tell you otherwise. But if you're sitting there today telling someone who will listen that if the Royals don't make the playoffs, the season's a failure. If the Royals don't finish above 500, I'm going to be angry. That's where I disagree. That's where I would push back. That's, like you're saying, this team hasn't earned that. Not from me, not from you. They haven't earned the expectation of going 500 on the road for the rest of the season. But I appreciate you listening. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're on 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Good stuff and good positive calls, man. And I know the streak is over, but, you know, the guys are playing good, Vern. And I'm glad you've been talking about this talent thing, and that's what it is. You know, my hat's off to Piccolo for off-season, man. The pitching is important. The bullpen guys, we're going to need Will Smith. He's going to come in down the road, everybody. Stay positive. Just jump aboard and support our team. Vern, you know, another thing I noticed, too, and some guys are talking about last caller, you know, you go to work, everybody's happier. They're talking Royals. Many of my coworkers have the Royals gear on. The customers are friendly and tipping more. We have our Royals special. You go to the bank, the guys and gals, they are talking about the Royals. They're a buzz of our town, everybody, right now. That's a breath of fresh air, you know, because they had a lot of losing. You touched on that, Vern, but you get some talent together, and with that Woolly veteran, Salvador Perez doing his thing, and then hopefully, you know, Bobby Witt being an MVP future, you never know. We got some stuff going here, everybody, and those guys get confident like that, and that's a hard team to beat, and that's all we ask for is just to be competitive. Alec Marsh, we need you tomorrow. Let's pick us up, and as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo!
Big T, always nice hearing from you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Let's go to the text line. From the 432, Vern, we're fast, we're athletic, but I still have this fear. It's like putting a bunch of money into a stock that you believe in that has no guarantee of being good. And yet, you still have hope. Vern, if I had to bet, which I did, the Royals will win the American League Central. Okay, so it's exactly like a stock. You're talking about your bets. Yeah, all right. Vern, I love this team. I've watched them through the highs and lows for a long time, but I see something special in this team. Yeah, great, great. That's terrific. Goes on to write, the season would be a win if we win 75. Yeah, I get with that. Certainly your bet would not win if they finish the season with 75 wins. That's great. Listen, hey, you know baseball. You see something special in them. I hope you're right. And we talk about the depth in the rotation, or hopeful depth with Lynch and maybe Bubich in the second half. You could talk about depth in the bullpen as well. You know, Will Klein down in AAA, Sam Long and John McMillan could possibly help out this year out of the bullpen. Now, Carlos Hernandez coming off of injury. But then you look at the position players as well. I would love to say that these 13 that are on the team right now are going to be the guys for the duration of the season, but that's not likely. Michael Massey, you would hope, is able to join the team in Chicago starting on Monday. And Drew Waters, Nick Prado, they're ready. They're eager. They're waiting. Omaha, by the way, looking at the minor leagues real quick. Omaha made a valiant effort at the end, but fell a little short. They fall 7-6 tonight. Drew Waters, 0-for-4 with a walk. He's hitting .342 down in Omaha. Nick Prado went 0-for-3 with a pair of walks. Prado's hitting .208. The highlight as far as the minor leagues are concerned came from High A Quad Cities. The River Bandits, with a 7-run victory behind a pair of terrific performances. First, as we always do, beginning on the mound, the local kid, Blue Valley Southwest grad, Ben Kuderna, the 21-year-old right-hander the Royals took in the second round back in 2021, made his second start of the season tonight and was dealing. Kuderna finishes 6 innings of hitless baseball. He walked 1, punched out 7, lowered his ERA to 1.86 across the first 2 starts. The offensive star, also a local product, the Park Hill kid, Carter Jensen, a 20-year-old catcher that was invited to spring training this year. He was a third-round pick for the Royals back in 2021. He had a big night. A double, a home run, 3 walks, 3 runs scored, raising his batting average to .280 and his OPS to .859. How about Kansas City? Not only is the big club getting it done, but the prospects grown here in Kansas City getting it done. Kuderna, Jensen holding it down. at the high A level. Nice to see. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, I just want the Royals to be competitive for the entire season. It's only happened twice in my life. I mean, come on. That shouldn't be too much to ask. Well, so that means what? You're like 20? 21? Do we count 2003? You say they've only been competitive for the entire season twice. That's not true. Obviously 14 and 15, but they were competitive in 2013 until the final week. 2016, they finished 500, so they were competitive into the final month. So you've seen it four, maybe even five times. 2017, they made moves at the deadline. They were in it in the second half of the season, faded late. That's somewhat revisionist history. There was a five-year run where you could go to the ballpark and fully expect the Royals to walk away victorious. The expectation driving to the ballpark was the Royals are going to win. They're going to win because of the pitching and defense, which is suddenly reappeared at Kauffman Stadium. 913-586-7610. One other minor league standout from the night. It's at the low A level. A kid that was impressive in spring, fun to watch him, another 20-year-old. Royals took him in the 20th round out of high school last year, or excuse me, 2 years ago. Austin Charles, big dude, 6'5", 215, certainly looks the part, very raw. But impressed me in spring training, just eye test-wise. It's fun to watch. Tonight he went 2-for-2 with two walks, drove in four, and picked up his first double of the season and his fourth and fifth stolen bases of the season. Charles, again, a 20-year-old, now hitting .292 with an OPS in the 800s as he plays his first full season of pro ball. Last year played in 69 games. This year I would imagine he's going to be making that jump to double A. Within the next few months. So some interesting names to watch. I saw Mason Barnett was on the hill tonight for the AA team as well. I'm telling you, if you're a baseball nerd, if you're a Royals nerd, it's nightly. There's someone on the hill where, man, you know what? I might have to stream that game. I do want to watch Mason Barnett. I kind of want to see what Luinda Avila has. I want to see Hunter Owen. I want to see Chandler Champlain. Back to the text line from the 816. Vern, this was just one of those games that you lose. Royals had chances, but sometimes it's not your day. The thing that I liked is today was the first time our starting pitchers gave up more than three runs. Vern, that's a good problem to have. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's amazing. 14 games in, and your starting pitcher just now gives up more than three earned runs. And even when that happens, you were still in the game. 14 games in, and your starting pitcher has given you a chance to win all of them. That's what I'm talking about. The stability of this rotation is going to give you a chance to win four out of every five games. 80% chance you're in the game. That's all you can ask for as a fan. At least when you're buying a ticket, that's all you can ask for as a fan. Hey, thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening and calling and texting. We'll do it again tomorrow. Talk to you at 11:30 in the morning. Royals, Mets, Game 2. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, Kansas City. Take care.